Now, it's National Park Week, and despite some dreary weather today, it's still a good time to celebrate by getting outside. A Wisconsin-based group is focused on getting people in the outdoors, especially encouraging marginalized groups to enjoy the natural spaces around us. The group, called Color in the Outdoors, advocates for diversity, accessibility, and inclusivity, and works toward equitable access in outdoor spaces. That includes a wide range of activities, including hiking, fishing, foraging, and spelunking, among many more. Christopher Kilgore is the founder of Color in the Outdoors and a UW alum. Christopher, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
What did you see out there that made you want to start a group to work on these things?
Well, I guess the easier way to answer that would be what I didn't see. ever since I was a young child, I spent the majority of my time year-round outdoors when at all possible. And grew up in Madison, grew up right in the center of town, and more times than not, the people that I was spending time with and the people I was surrounded by didn't necessarily look like me. And it wasn't necessarily noticeable as a younger child, but as I got older, it definitely was. And so as I was able to be in a position where I could start acting as a mentor or a role model of sorts with some of the younger folks, but also just as a peer with folks my age and some older, I decided it was in my best interest, not only to just be able to have folks to spend time with outdoors, but also to continue that legacy of handing that information and that passion for the outside world down. And as people kind of continue to give me nudges with their elbows saying, you really need to do something more organized, that's how Color in the Outdoors was essentially born.
What are some of the biggest obstacles for people of color to get out and enjoy nature?
Well, I think that there are, you know, the list is long. Unfortunately, I think accessibility is one thing. I think that oftentimes the spaces that we tend to recreate in outdoors are often far away or often kind of sequestered in an area that isn't necessarily accessible. So things like bus lines, things like transportation can provide a barrier. I think another thing is, again, to that point of seeing faces that look like you or seeing people that look like you out on trail. When you're in certain parts of the state, certain parts of the country, certain parts of the city, even oftentimes you don't necessarily see representation on those levels. And so it sometimes can be a bit daunting or intimidating and can therefore create some barrier in and of itself that way. I think that the more we see even things like signage, things like when there's kind of print and with social media being the way that it is in this day and age, the more representation you see in those spaces as well, the more likely people are going to be feeling more comfortable in outdoor spaces.
As you mentioned, Christopher, people elbowed you and tried to get you to do a more organized effort. In turn, how do you encourage other people to get engaged in this effort and stay engaged?
I think one of the biggest things is to just, you know, and it's easier and sometimes said than done, but just really do it. Get outside, grab some friends or family. Figure out what is your comfort zone initially. And one of the things that I think we really need to make a point of saying is outdoor spaces include your front yard. They include going outside the door. And then that is why indeed it is called outdoor space. And I think that to that point, having friends or family, peers, colleagues, coworkers, take a walk in the park, take a walk down the street, observe the outdoor space in a way that you might normally not. We're so plugged into electronics and busy schedules these days that we typically don't literally spend time smelling the roses and seeing the forest for the trees. Then there are also just quite a few organizations, not only locally, but regionally and nationally, that are doing their best to continue to try to offer these opportunities up for folks as well. So, you know, we have these wonderful spaces on the internet where you can Google looking for different affinity groups or different organizations. And there are quite a few out there. Within the social media realm alone that are definitely offering up some fantastic programming and fantastic times outside and in outdoor spaces with groups and with people that are like you.
Now, suppose somebody's listening who runs a local parks department in a community or maybe a state park or whatever level. How would you suggest they kind of inventory and see what they can do if they're thinking, yeah, this sounds great. I want to make sure my park or parks are accessible to everybody.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the biggest things that I encourage folks that are in charge of spaces like that to do is to do an inventory, and not an inventory by themselves, but an inventory with affinity groups, with focus groups, things like that, where you can say, do you feel welcome in these spaces and what could we do differently or better? I think that to that point, anytime a space says, no, we don't need to do that, chances are they really need to do that. So I think that that's one of those kind of self-check situations where it's important to reach out beyond perhaps your circle or bubble and ask folks how they feel and if they indeed do feel comfortable and welcome. And then if the answer is yes, then what could they do to help encourage others and to get the word out?
We're talking to Christopher Kilgore, founder of Color in the Outdoors, also a UW alum. Christopher, are there, I don't know, wins, big or small, that you can point to or even in process right now where you think, yes, we've really moved the needle here?
I think, you know, from a more local, Wisconsin, we'll use that as our parameter space. There are a lot of things that on governmental levels, both within city, county, state government, folks are starting to see that this is indeed an important conversation to be having. There are some efforts being made to that point of showing inclusion when you have brochures and print material. When it comes to the, for instance, the Department of Outdoor Recreation has done a wonderful job of putting together a booklet with representation and intentional representation. There are also other organizations and entities that are starting to do the same. So I think to that point of wins, there are individuals, for instance, a friend of mine, James Mills, who is a guest lecturer at the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, my alum. I would be remiss if I didn't mention those types of things. But also other organizations. There's an author, Danae O'Dowd, who has written several books with representation of kids of color in the outdoor spaces. There's organizations like Outdoor Afro, Latino Outdoors, et cetera, where we've got, you know, there are more and more organizations and groups doing that and more organizations being brought to the table. And I guess I would say to that point, it's not just having a seat at the table, but it's also having a cup, a plate, a knife, a spoon, and a meal. Not just having a voice, but being actually included in the conversation in a longer term and in a sustainable way.
At the structural level, I know there were points in American history where cities might be building lots of parks and overwhelmingly building them in predominantly white neighborhoods, not so much in predominantly black or Latino neighborhoods. How do you start to tackle a bigger problem that's already built in like that?
Well, one of the things that if I were in a perfect world and part of a city planning division, if you will, I would say that not all spaces that are going to be quote unquote renovated, torn down buildings, and not all should be turned into parking lots and high rises. We definitely need more accessible green space. Those green spaces that are within city limits and city parameters, I think it's also extremely important that there's funding and efforts being made to keep those a place that folks want to be and keep those places being a welcoming space. Even as something as simple as signage and having signs in languages more than just English. There are a lot of folks from a lot of different walks of life. I think we'd also be remiss if we didn't talk about the acknowledgement of having most of the parks, for instance, in the city of Madison, all the parks in the city of Madison being on Ho-Chunk land and having some sort of nod to and affirmation in talking about those types of things too.
Christopher, just very briefly, it looks like winter outside, but it is spring in Wisconsin. Springtime, what are you most excited about when it comes to getting outdoors?
Well, you know, with springtime comes flowers, comes the budding of trees. There's lots of foraging to do in certain areas where mushrooms start to pop up and ferns start to come out and that kind of thing. The birds are starting to come back. BIPOC Birders of Wisconsin and Color in the Outdoors are going to be doing an event in June, trying to get folks outside with their optics and their eyeballs and trying to find the birds that have decided to come back, including those that have stuck around. So lots of hikes to be had, lots of wonderful things to be done. Fishing season opens first week in May typically, so that's coming up. Just a lot to be done with the weather warming up.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Christopher Kilgore, founder of Color in the Outdoors.